From NPR and the Futuro Media Group, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a live recording of our show with a little help from our friends. We partner with John Schaefer of WNYC Soundcheck to bring you the unpredictable music of Juana Molina. And the band La Mecánica Popular with their version of psychedelic salsa. Plus, we talk to members of the legendary Labyrinth Theater Company. That's all coming up on this special edition of Latino USA, live with WNYC Soundcheck at the Green Space. I'm Maria Hinojosa. No se vayan. Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, mis queridos, we've got something special. We teamed up with the WNYC Music Show, Soundcheck, and its host, John Schaefer, for a live event at the Green Space, New York Public Radio's performing arts venue. On this live show, we're focusing on artists who combine the traditional with the experimental. And coming up, we'll be hearing from Argentinian musician Juana Molina and artists from the Labyrinth Theater Company. We're calling this a public radio doubleheader, inspired by the LAMC, the Latin Alternative Music Conference, which we here at Latino USA look forward to every year. The conference brings artists from all over Latin America and the U.S. into New York City for a week of creativity and celebration. So let's dive right into our live show at WNYC's Green Space, co-hosted by me and Soundcheck's John Schaefer. And as John points out about the LAMC,
it's actually a special event this year. It's their 15th anniversary.
They're celebrating their quinceañera, LAMC. If you don't know what a quinceañera is, your daughters will be celebrating them. It means you're turning 15. That's when a quinceañera is. So we're very happy for the LAMC and their quinceañera.
Do I have to wear like a frilly dress
or
something?
Yes, very frilly. Okay. Very, very frilly.
But to begin, you can see that the stage behind us is full of musicians who are itching to play for you. La Mecánica Popular is a really interesting kind of psychedelic salsa band. And they're based here in New York, although they come from, they're sort of like a pan-Latino outfit, but based here in New York.
Based here in New York. Efraín Rosas is originally from Peru. He's the leader of the band, and I am totally into watching all of you react to psychedelic salsa.
Please welcome La Mecánica Popular, live in the Green Space.
Oh. Thank you.
La Mecánica Popular.
La Mecánica Popular.
And a song called El Ratero, live from the Green Space and our public radio doubleheader. So it's, should we talk to young Efrain over
Let's
here?
Let's talk to Efrain.
Two on one, we're going to gang up on you.
So I'm like, suddenly I'm dancing, I feel like I'm listening to...
Yeah, you were getting your freak on
Pero
there.
Claro, mi amor, that was like some serious salsa. So I'm like doing my like, yeah, and you know, I'm Mexican, but I learned how to dance salsa in New York City. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, Carlos Castañeda is in my head. And so I really did live psychedelic salsa. But what are the roots, Efrain, of psychedelic salsa?
Well, basically, all of the members of the band and the idea which I came up with, it was the result of just loving music, you know? We love all kinds of music. We love salsa, we love the Afro-Caribbean rhythms, and we love the textures of avant-garde, psychedelia, you know, new music. You know, so it's basically that, you know, we couldn't find that, so we decided to do it.
There was some kind of psychedelic influence in some of the music in Peru and Brazil and places like that in the 60s and 70s, wasn't there?
Totally. You know, chicha, cumbia, Peruvian cumbia is amazing, and as you can see, we have no horn section. That comes from also from chicha. There was a path, of course, as some of us are from Peru, growing up there. Yeah, Peru.
Viva Peru!
Growing up there, listening to that, like, that's a path that is kind of a door left open there to transit. And the horns were replaced by the guitars, electric guitars, and these textures, really interesting textures. So that's what we do. Yeah, there's a lot of that in this music, too.
Efrain, did you start playing psychedelic salsa in Lima, Peru, or was it when you came to New York?
No, it was a project that I decided to start here when I came, like, I came here 3 years ago, but this project has 2 years, more or less. Yeah.
And what was the immediate reaction here in New York, where you have diehard, hardcore salsa, you know, and in that case, don't even call it salsa, call it Afro-Cuban roots, etc. What's been the reaction to the psychedelic salsa?
To be honest, it's been great. 2 weeks ago, we played Summer Stage in the 50th anniversary of Fania Records, opening for Roberto Roena. And people really it was an honor to be there, and people really liked it. It was like really old school people dancing to our stuff and young people to dig in it. So, I mean, it's been really fast and people are really liking it. I think people are really open here in New York to hear new stuff, you know. And even, I think in general, even old school people, when they hear something that is honest and somebody who's trying to do, has an honest seeking for something honest, I think they will dig it. You know, there's this thing about humans, I think, that when somebody opens to you and is honest, you immediately feel and accept it, you know, in a way. And that's beautiful, I think.
He's so young and naive, isn't he?
I think, Efrain, that you've hit it on the head. I think that when the music... I'm sorry, I'm eternally young.
And I'm a native New Yorker.
But I respond to the authenticity because I believe, Efrain, that this is a musical experience that spoke to you and that you felt in many ways that you could actually make it live here in New York.
Yeah, but you know what? Lima, I think a lot of, being here in New York, honestly, some of the most interesting art I see in general, not only music, comes from peripheral cities, Lima, New Delhi, Cairo. You know, they are cross points where a lot of traditions cross with modernity. So, and those cities are pretty wild. You know, don't underestimate our cities. You know, seriously, I think the Latin American growing up in a city like Lima, 10 million people city, with people from all over Peru who has like 12 languages, you know, it just blows your mind. And chicha, cumbia, Peruvian, is a result of that too, you know. And I think all around the world you can find really interesting stuff in these cities that are like third world or whatever you want to call it, you know.
Well, a lot of what's holding tonight's show together is this combination of tradition and experimentation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's certainly the case with Labyrinth Theater Company, as you'll hear in a few minutes. Absolutely the case with Juana Molina, who will be here later. What about you? What's your relation to the tradition of salsa? Did you grow up listening to Willie Colon and people like that?
I mean, as I say, I think that's a pan-Latin experience to you in the bus, you listen to radio, you know, and everywhere, your parents, parties. But like the salsa dura, the funny stuff, I came across afterwards, you know, not when I came here, but just like when I started to dig for, I was more into rock, experimental jazz, and then I find this Fania records like Willie Colon, Hector Lavoe, these really interesting musicians, super creative, super risky, and had this kind of attitude of rock people, you know, and even jazz. So that was really cool for me because I was listening to more like salsa sensual or romantic salsa from the 90s, you know, 2000s, which is cool too.
We know why you wanted to listen to that.
It's cool too, you know, everything.
You did hear what the name of it was. Salsa Sensual.
Yeah, yeah. It's like kind of the classic.
Efrain, we know it. It's all like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You had plans listening to salsa.
So, Efrain, do you want to, before we let you finish out your set, can you introduce the rest of the band for us?
Of course. Hector Ferreira from Peru, yeah. En los timbales, Jesús Marval, desde Venezuela. En la guitarra, Ernesto Lucar, siguiendo la tradición, following the tradition of Peruvian chicha, and Alejandro Hacker in the bass.
You guys sound fabulous together, which means I want to hear some more music.
And we will. More music from La Mecánica Popular is coming up as our public radio doubleheader with WNYC's Soundcheck continues. Stay with us. No se vayan. Welcome back to our special live edition of Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a broadcast of our recent live event with WNYC's Soundcheck at the Green Space in New York City. We've been speaking with Efrain Rosas of La Mecánica Popular, a group that combines the Afro-Latin grooves of salsa dura with experimental electronic textures.
Before we say goodbye to La Mecánica, we're going to hear one more of their songs performed live. This one, Muy Distinto, very different.
Mecánica Popular. Thank you.
Bravo. Salsa psicodélica. Thank you so much, La Mecánica Popular.
Live performance fabulous. From La Mecánica Popular on Latino USA and Soundcheck.
Bravo. So, John, how about that dancing?
You must be exhausted. You danced through that entire set off stage.
Did I tell you that my husband and I met dancing at Salsa Meets Jazz at the Village Gate?
Oh, nice. That is a classic New York story.
Classic New York story.
Now, we are here in the Green Space, which is WNYC's ground floor performance venue.
We are really honored to have, as part of our live show on Latino USA and on Soundcheck, members of the Labyrinth Theater Company with us.
You think of some of the Labyrinth productions, like Jack Goes Boating with the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman, and The Little Flower of East Orange with Elaine Stritch, and the mother... I can't say this one on the radio. Let's call it The Mother with the Hat, which featured Chris Rock and Bobby Cannavale. And their current production, which is up through July 19th, is called The Muscles in Our Toes.
So what you may not know about the Labyrinth Theater Company is that it was actually started by a few Latinos that said that they wanted to prove something. We're going to hear more about that. But since their founding, they've now become one of the most diverse theater companies that you can really find anywhere.
So let's welcome to the Green Space stage founding member Paola Pizzi and Kusi Kram, whose production called Radiance was recently done by the Labyrinth Theater. And please welcome them to the stage here at the Green Space.
Paola and Kusi! So listen, this is wonderful to have you both on stage. I'm really honored because, you know, the other truth is that I came to New York to be an actress. And then someone killed my dream.
There's always time.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
It wasn't you, John. It wasn't you. So, Paola, tell us about the origins of Labyrinth Theater.
Okay. Do we have all night? No. Let's go back to the early 90s. Big controversy, Death and the Maiden was on Broadway with Latino characters that for once were not prostitutes, maids, and drug dealers.
And it was written by Ariel Dorfman, who is an amazing Chilean playwright and author.
He was actually born in Argentina and then moved to Chile, and then moved to America. So Argentinian-born Chilean American playwright and wonderful playwright. And there were no Latino actors in the cast. So there was a huge controversy because, hello. And someone was quoted as saying, and I can't remember who, or maybe I just don't want to say who.
It was a well-known casting director, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but like we'll leave it there. That they didn't know where the good Latino actors were in New York.
I'm sorry, what year was this now?
1992 or 91.
You see, they hadn't arrived in New York yet, the Latinos.
We were there.
Yeah. Oh, you were the first then, 1992. I'm being facetious, of course.
Of course. And the timing was right. They had a space available thanks to the generosity of Max Ferra, who was at that time the artistic director of Inter. And it was this little black box on 53rd Street next to the tracks. And it was like, sometimes you would see the occasional New York City rat that would come and say, hello, you know. And we had that space. And they decided to respond to that person that said... that they didn't know where the good Latino actors were in New York, and they said, we'll show them. And what we did was we got together every Wednesday, I believe it was, at 6 o'clock after our various, you know, waiting on tables, jobs, auditions, this, that, typical actors' life in New York City, and we would just jam. And by jam, I mean just have fun and play. And their idea, our founder's idea, was to provide a safe place where we could... explore our reality and our experience as Latinos in the city, in New York. We did have like the three token white guys, the uber talented Sam Rockwell, David Deblinger, and Chris McGarry in our troupe. But then we realized that we were not being inclusive, and we were doing actually what we were criticizing other people that they were doing. So we decided to open the gates.
You mean you essentially felt like you had token white folks.
Yeah, but we were all Latinos. So we were like, you know, yeah. Sorry, John, again. Anyway, so we decided to open it up and be more inclusive. And then, like you said once, right, you looked around the room and it felt like...
Well, it's sort of like one of the few theater companies where you go to a meeting, a company meeting, and it looks like a subway car, or it looks like an AA meeting, or, you know, anywhere... And I didn't say that.
Nothing about that.
Yeah, but it looks like the city. You know, it reflects the city that we live in a way that is oddly not so present in a lot of the companies in New York.
So do you consider yourselves Latino actors, playwrights? Or are you playwrights, actors who happen to be Latino? Or
that's a great question.
Paola.
I want to say that I consider myself an actress, director, new playwright, without attaching anything to it. But my Latino-es sneaks in, you know. I just can't leave it behind. I don't want to, really, you know. Yeah. And again, I think I've been in this country for a long time, and I love this country. But I will always be Argentinian in a way, you know.
I feel sort of similarly to Paula. I think you want to always be careful as an artist to be too narrow in mm-hmm. your view of who you are. But sometimes I want to write plays with Latino characters and explore that. And sometimes I want to, you know, write plays about white men. Yeah.
Yet again.
I'm feeling very outsider here. I kind of like it.
Welcome to the club. Yeah.
The future. Joy Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Are you guys feeling really optimistic about life in the theater, though? I mean, is it something that, you know, for me as a journalist, there are many people who are like, oh, my God, there's, you know, the future of journalism. We don't know. We're not. Why would anybody study that? You know, there's this kind of a drama around the future of journalism, which I see as a real opportunity. How's the feeling in terms of the theater? Is this a moment of great growth, or...?
I think, surprisingly, I am feeling optimistic. I think the statistics of the Broadway plays this year and the attendance, it was incredibly hopeful. I was so happy to hear that. I can't quote the numbers, but I remember going, wow, this is good. You know, in an era where, like, everything is at the touch of a finger and everything's instant gratification, to have people go and see a play, I mean, it's incredible to me that it's still happening. And thank you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for going.
It's true. Because yeah. Let's face it, there's nothing like this, right? There's nothing like that.
It's much, yeah,
there's nothing like great. The faux pas we make on stage and then we have to fix them, you know? There's nothing as exhilarating as that.
Well, also, haven't people been saying theater is dying for, like, hundreds of years?
Yeah. You know,
radio came around in the 1920s and by the 1940s, radio is dead, you know? Yeah. Movies are killing it, TV is killing it, VCRs are killing it.
Well, there's something exciting, too, about that being in something that's the dying thing, you know, you have to fight for it, you know, you're like, I'm not going to let it die, you know?
That is the Latina in you.
Yeah.
Totally.
We're just the idiot.
No me muero, no.
Nunca, por favor.
No, jamás. I don't know, I feel like we're doing a little bit of a soap opera right now.
Yes, indeed.
Yo creo que somos re dramáticos.
Tú crees super dramáticos.
Ay, sí.
Oh, mi amor.
My dream is coming true. I'm an actress. This has been so exciting for me in particular to have these women who are part of an incredible part of the theater tradition, not only in New York City, but in our country. It has really been an honor. And thank you so much for being so persistent in the arts and in finding your voice and in giving that space for others to find their voice as actors. So thank you so much for what you do at Latin.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure.
Lucy Cram, Paola Pizzi from the Labyrinth Theatre Company. The Muscles in Our Toes is their current production. It is running not far from here in the green space at the Bank Street Theatre through July 19th. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Muchas gracias. So, John.
That really was like watching a little telenovela breaking out there at the
end. Oh, we were holding it back, sweetheart.
You know, talking about, like, TV and acting and stuff, Juana Molina, noted actress back in Argentina back in the day, and, you know, we here in New York and in the States didn't know any of that. We've all come to know her as a great singer-songwriter with a very distinctive sound. So I'm really looking forward to her set tonight.
You know, what I love about people like Juana Molina is that she is a true artist to her core. Mm-hmm. An artist who is not going to be held by the golden handcuffs of television, of being in a, you know, a comedy television show, but rather really wanting to find her heart and to follow that dream. So to me, Juana Molina is that borderless artist who can't be held back.
And she is someone who is taking part in this 15th anniversary edition of the the Latin Alternative Music Conference here in New York. In fact, she'll be playing at Central Park.
Which is kind of extraordinary because last night or something like that, at 1 o'clock in the morning, Juana and her band were playing in Slovakia. They were driven 2.5 hours to Vienna, and then they got on a plane to Madrid, and then got on a plane and flew to JFK.
And then came straight here to the green space.
So it is truly an honor to have her here with such energy.
It's an honor to have her upright and awake is the truth of the matter. She's been on soundcheck as well, and you know, we've always been impressed by the work that she's done. Her latest album is called Wed 21, or Wed 21 if you prefer.
Let's give a round of applause. Live at the green space, Juana Molina. Of Juana Molina, a live performance of Wed 21, the title track off her latest album. Coming up, John Schaefer and I speak with Juana and hear more of her stunning music. Stay with us. No se vayan. Welcome back to Your Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. We're taking you back now to our live performance and interview from the Green Space. I'm joined by John Schaefer from WNYC's Soundcheck and Argentinian singer-songwriter Juana Molina. Let's go straight to the music with Juana's song, Eras.
Thank you.
Juana Molina, live from the green space. In this special public radio doubleheader, Latino USA and Soundcheck. Juana, welcome.
Hello. Well, welcome. Thank you. I mean,
do you know what language you're speaking, Juana?
I know. No, I'm distracted because the guitar is so distorted. I don't get it. Maybe it's a lack of sleep as well.
You may feel like you don't get it, but I think the audience completely gets it.
I think when people see an electric guitarist surrounded by racks of gear and foot pedals,
sound like all
a
distorted.
Little distortion
sort of
comes with the territory.
It should be clean as crystal and water in a river in the summer with birds and flowers.
Whoa!
Then, Juana, you need to go back to the acoustic guitar.
Don't dare
you. Oh! Those are
well,
some
now, this is
words.
This is interesting, though, because this new record seems to be built around the sound of the electric guitar as opposed to the acoustic.
Both, actually. Mm-hmm. But the pedals, you know, give the acoustics some electric qualities.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you just tell me, Juana, you've been playing for a long time, but when did you discover guitar pedals?
Oh, the guitar pedals? I, first of all, looked for something that I had in the computer. It was an effect on the computer called a ring modulator. And I said, oh, I wish this pedal existed. One day, like 5 years later, I asked someone, oh, you know, I usually use this effect and I love it. It's called ring modulator and it's really cool. Why don't you get a pedal? I said, what? Does it exist? Of course it exists. The plugin exists because of the pedal. Okay.
Okay, and tell me the truth, Juana, when that
person... That is the truth.
But when that happened, what did you just... Were you like, oh my God, the truth of me being an actress who's becoming
being
a musician
an idiot.
Has come true? O sea, eres una idiota.
Total, completamente, sí. Pero bueno, ¿qué le voy a hacer?
Did you have a moment where you just said, you know, I'm leaving my acting, I'm leaving the comedy behind because I know that this is what kind of music I want to make? Or did you just say, I want to go on an adventure to find my musical voice?
Ooh, I didn't ask me that question like that. I just knew that was something I needed to do. Since I was a little girl. So I started acting in order to have money to be able to pay my rent, my lessons. I knew that TV played well, and I had this skill of impersonating other people. I said, okay, I'm going to use that to make money and so I can play music. But then I got caught in my own trap, and TV ate me. And
you were, still, are a huge television star in Argentina.
Was. Yeah.
But people still know you from that.
They do. And when they see me in the supermarket, they say, oh, you're not working anymore.
Does TV try to pull you back in?
Yeah, totally, yes. But they couldn't.
How do you, I think for many people, of course, this is New York. A city that is but the home of artists, many of them, you know, it's hard. It's hard to stay in touch with your voice and with that dream. So what gave you that fortaleza to just say, no, you're not going to stop me from what I really want to do as an artist?
It's not something I really knew. It's something I learned by not doing it. Because once I was weak and I accepted to do something in theater that was only a month, but it was like 4 months of rehearsal, and my mind, it was a mind time. It's not a physical time. It's your mind that is taken by other things. So that's when I knew, okay, this is it. I'm not doing it. It was like a test and I failed, but I didn't do it again. So
was that the vagina monologues?
Oh, shut up!
Wow, man. Being told twice in 10 minutes by my own guest to shut up.
Welcome to the football, John.
Must be doing something right.
No, I didn't like doing that, I need to say.
We just heard Eros, that was the last song that you...
Kind of a version of it, yes.
Maria, have you seen the video for Eros?
I have not.
You should watch it, but not immediately before going to bed. It is one of the creepiest little videos I have seen in many years.
It is a little creepy, yes, it's true.
Did you have anything to do with the sort of the concept of that?
The thing is, when we were making the cover of the record, there was a picture of me that the designer, Alejandro Ross, wanted to use, and I really didn't like it. I said, why don't you just hit my face? And so he copied the color of the dress I was wearing and just made me a blue face. And then he made holes. The cover of the record was going to be a mummy, because I consider myself a mummy.
Momia or mamá?
Una momia.
Una momia, una no
momia.
Una mamá.
Una momia, okay,
let's
total.
Get that. Una momia, no una mamá.
Okay. So, and we tried to make a happier mummy. But, and then we didn't like it, and we started to just to tear apart the paper around me, and well, we got that, and then we got the actual cover of the record that is not a mummy, but it's what it is. There's a movie called My Uncle Bonhomme, Who Could Remember His Lives from the Past, or something like that. Yes, from Apichatpong Weerasethakul. It's a Thailandese director, and in this movie, there's a creature in the dark that you could only see his eyes. So when we saw this creature, we thought about that. And bicho in Spanish means creature or beast. So bichapong was the perfect name for that beast. And that's...
I will just say, watch the video.
Well,
again, not just before you go to bed.
We obviously could talk with you for a long time because...
I think I prefer talking that playing tonight.
We want to hear more music from Juana Molina. So un aplauso para Juana Molina, live from the Green Space.
Decidí yo.
That's it for this week. Latino USA was produced by Daisy Rosario, AC Valdez, Lita Hartman, Katie Davis, Marlon Bishop, Michael Simon Johnson, Camilo Vargas, and Antonia Cerejido. Our engineer is Cornelius McMoyler. Nadia Raymond is our music consultant. Our interns are Julia Alsop, Sarah Barrett, Sara Rocha, and Roxanne Scott. Nancy Trujillo makes it all happen. Special thanks to the folks at The Green Space and WNYC, especially John Schaefer, Joel Meyer, Jennifer Sendro, Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, Ricardo Fernandez, and Irene Trudell. Also to Federico Majol and Canyon Cody from the Latin Alternative Music Conference. Our show was founded at the University of Texas at Austin. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week, and in the meantime, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, and I'll see you on my Instagram, Maria_la_Hinojosa. Hasta la próxima.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation and by the Marguerite Casey Foundation, dedicated to achieving a more just and equitable society for all, and the Ford Foundation, dedicated to working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
So
you have not bought me enough beer for that.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring with a Floor Finder app for iPad and iPhone. Learn more at lumberliquidators.com. And the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. And the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org. This is NPR.